Okay, this morning we'll be in Isaiah chapter 60, another 6 weeks after this, and we'll six more teachings and we'll be done with that chapter, with this book. I'm going to read it first and then we'll begin the discussion. Verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to see. Your sons shall come from far, your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then shall you see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitudes of camels shall cover you, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. The sons of strangers shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I smote you, but in my favor have I had mercy upon you. Therefore the gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted you shall come bending unto you, and all they that despised you shall bow themselves down at the soles of your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make your officers peace, and your extractors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, wasting and destruction within your borders, but you shall call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give her light to you, but the Lord shall be to you an everlasting light, and your God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, because the Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation, and I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time." Boy, this is something. This is something. When I read this, the first verse, I wrote something atop the page, over top of it, because it's right at the top of the right-hand column. And I put three letters. And if you should be able to understand this. Wow. Look what it says. Everybody, the church keeps preaching to us someday, don't they?
But it has come.
Arise and shine. You can't shine till you've been lit up, can you? You're already awakened because your light is. The word is present tense. It's not past tense. Is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen up on you. See, we're waiting for something and the church keeps telling us, you keep hanging in there, baby, you'll make it. No, we won't.
I'm already there.
See, they're denying us. They're lying to us. They're telling that first lie ever told in the Bible. Y'all know what it is?
You're not like God.
You're not like God. He's already saying, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. And the church said, no, you're not, but if you'll listen to us someday, we'll get you there. And they ain't going to get you in no place but a deep mess. Verse 2, he goes on and says, because behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Ignorance shall cover the earth. You know what? It is. It's covered with ignorance, believe me. Just walk around every day and watch it. And gross darkness the people. You don't think there's gross darkness out here? It's everywhere. Okay. And that earth is talking about our bodies, not the earth we're walking on. But the Lord shall what?
Arise
or shine upon you. Not arise, but he shall shine. And they're going in the context, when the sun rises, it'll shine on you. Okay? But the word should say arise. It both words can be used, arise or shine. So when the sun rises on you, guess what? You're lit.
Yeah, the day star.
The day star has already risen. He just said so in the first verse, didn't he? Mm-hmm. It's already a done deal. And we're saying, he'll be here someday. The whole church is standing around waiting for Jesus to show up. He's already got here. He's already been here, took care of everything, and went and sat down beside the Father, waiting on us to do something now. And that is, wake up and know that we are sons of God. We're not going to be sons. We are sons. And His glory shall be what?
Seen.
What were we talking about this morning about people seeing who you are? Without speaking words, seeing who you are by your actions and your reactions to all the things of life, and they know how they would react. They know how people normally react, how natural people react to everything, but you don't react that way. See? But what they call supernatural is only natural to us. Because if our nature is of God, then being supernatural is just being natural, isn't it? Just be who you be. And the Gentiles, or the masses, shall come to your light. Okay? Just like we talked about that light out in the field at night in the summertime. Everything comes to it. Insects, creeping, crawling creatures, mammals, everything comes to the light. Birds come to the light. Everything. They come to, and now notice what it says, it didn't come to the light, it come to your light. Because the light is upon you, isn't it? They come to your light. And your light, of course, is the light that he says he lights every man that comes into the world, right? So God's given us the light. It's his light, but he gave it to us. So now it's ours. And kings to the brightness of your what? That word rising there should be dawning, to your dawning. When it's not when you see the sun come up, but it's when you in your mind understand who you really are. That's that day star rising in your life. When you understand, I truly am a son of God. It's not about being superior to anybody. It's about being who God has chosen you to do. Whatever He's chosen you to do. If you're a street sweeper in the kingdom, then so be it. Be a street sweeper. And be comfortable with whatever God has given you. But when you see who you are, that's when people will come to you. Because there's a lot of people that I have met through the years that I know has had tremendous calling of God in their lives, but they have no self-confidence. They've let the world and the religious system just beat them down. Just beat them down and take every bit of self-esteem from them, every bit of confidence from them. See, they didn't believe who they were. They had potential. But I heard a man say years ago, I don't remember who, but years and years ago, he said, the greatest potential in the earth today is in the graveyard. because they died not fulfilling their potential, because they let someone talk them out of it. If you know who you are, nobody will talk you out of anything. Yeah, that gross darkness got them. And then he says, lift up your eyes round about and see. Look what he just told you up here. Look around and see the gross darkness and the darkness. You can't help but see it, can you? You have to understand there is a light on you. If the light wasn't on you, you couldn't see darkness, could you?
Kind of like a miner's hat, huh?
Yep, kind of like a miner. Look around, look what you can see. They don't have a light, you do. Well, there's a reason you got a light, okay? He said, and the King James says all they, but it should be they all, just flip the words around, they all gather themselves together, they come to you. See that? They're coming to you. Why? Tell me why they're coming to you. Because you got the light. But if you don't know you got a light, guess what? You'll be getting in line with them, following them to someplace else, instead of being the light that God's called you to be. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then, or at that time, shall you see. He said, when this starts happening, then you're going to understand. See is not always looking at something, but it's a comprehension of something. You can look at it and say, oh, I see that now. How many people have said that in their lives? Oh, I see now. It wasn't visually looking at something. It was an understanding, a comprehension of something. Then you shall see and flow together. Kind of sounds like Feast of Tabernacles, don't it? Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Oneness. Huh? And you're...
You said you shall see and become...
You shall see and flow together.
This one says, then you shall see and become radiant.
That's not in the language. I mean, I don't know what's the translation?
New King James.
But that, see, none of them is 100%. That's why we got to study it a little bit. But that part of it's not there. It's not in the language.
I have it in three different translations.
I know, but it's not there. A lot of times they just copy off another translation and just go ahead and go on. But
what was the correct one?
It said, you shall see and flow together. Okay? And then it goes on and says, and your heart, or your inner man, or your mind, you know, your spirit in there, shall fear. And we know it's not fear, is it?
Well, my guess is totally different from theirs. What? Your heart shall swell with joy.
Yeah, that's somebody's opinion of what the language is. That's not in the language. And see, although that translation is probably one of the better translations there is, the New King James or New American Standard are some of the best translations, but they still have places that they miss it. Okay. We're never going to get it all correct in one translation, then we wouldn't have the need to study, would we? But it says that your heart, or that your mind, or whatever, shall fear, or literally reverence,
well,
or revere.
I could see that switching that around, all that translation,
yeah.
That our heart, which represents our mind,
yeah.
Is illuminated into...
Yeah, but they're saying the language isn't there. They've added some words in there. You can do it because you already understand it.
Right.
But someone coming along that didn't understand it, that could take you in a different course.
That fear would be more...
A reverence, yeah. To revere something or reverence it. And your mind will reverence or revere God and be enlarged. See? When you begin to realize that God and reverence God... Then you've got room for something else in your life. Because until you see that God is in control of all things and begin to revere God, the king in your heart is you. And when you get dethroned, there's room for a whole lot to come in your life, isn't there? Right? When I get I off the throne, now God can take the throne. And he can put anything he wants there. And it says, because the abundance of the sea, or humanity, shall be converted, or literally turned to you. Everything in humanity is ours. Okay? Whatever our Father has is ours, isn't it? He said, go ahead.
What was that, converted?
The word converted is turned. It was turned to you. Now that translation you got is a very good translation. Just sometimes you're still going to miss it, you know. But when you go looking in the language, a lot of stuff just ain't there in all the translations. But still, the one you got is the closest one. In my opinion, Lisa, the one you got is the closest one there is. For someone reading it, not ever paying attention, it's closer than any other one. Okay, the forces of the Gentiles or the masses shall come to you. Yeah. And I don't like to use the word Gentile because Gentile has a stigma with it. If I can get away from it, I try to. Because when we hear reading Scripture, what do you think when you say Gentile? What do most people think?
Someone over in Israel.
No, someone unsaved.
Yeah.
See, they think about the bad people. The Gentiles are bad people. They're lost, the lost ones. You know? See, but that's the stigma that goes with some of these words. That's not necessarily the meaning of it, but that's what people hear when you say it. If you call someone a Gentile, they think, oh, I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
Well, see, but the word also speaks of the masses of people, amassing people. So I'll use the word masses of people instead of Gentiles.
That automatically puts a picture in your mind.
That's not correct.
Some words comes out, which is
not right.
In the wrong direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Verse 6, it goes on and says, the multitude of camels shall cover you. you can take that for what it says. I don't know what the camels are going to cover me. But what? I'm just leave that and lay. I'm not going to touch it. And it says, and the dromedary. You know what a dromedary is?
It's a camel.
It's a baby camel. You know, that's another. So the camels and the baby camels of Midian. Now, those words are, those first words are not, it's symbolism. You all understand that. Okay, they're pointing at something, and it's not necessarily camels. It could be dogs, cats, birds, whatever you want to. He's showing you a principle here that these, the big ones and the little ones of Midian. Midian, you know what that word stands for? Strife. Okay, the word Midian stands for strife. And Ephath, it speaks of gloom. Okay, and all they from Sheba. It speaks of an oath. The word Sheba means seven or an oath, okay? Or a covenant. He said, all of them will come. It's showing three different realms there. Do you see it? Strife, gloom, and the oath. Right? Okay. So it says, young and old, they're all going to come in all different realms, all different sizes and shapes. They're all coming.
They're all
traitors. They're all there. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and what?
Frankincense.
Literally frankincense. Some of the translations say incense, but it says frankincense. Now, what did they bring to Jesus?
Gold, frankincense.
Gold, frankincense,
and myrrh.
Well, when he was a baby?
Yes.
Okay. They brought gold and frankincense. I was trying to think what the other one was, but okay.
What is the frankincense?
It's an incense of a sort.
It's
something they use for burial. I mean, part of the perfume preparation for the burial. Even though he was just being born, he was born for this end to die for humanity. Okay?
What was myrrh?
Huh? Myrrh was a painkiller that they gave him when he was suffering. Myrrh was a.
They were preparing him.
They're preparing him for his death from the very moment of birth. That's what we got to look forward to.
Traitors,
yeah, bringing that stuff in on.
Same.
Yep. So it's the same pattern. That's what I'm saying. It's all symbolism. So
they were Eastern trading tribes.
Yeah. And they says they shall bring forth gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. He didn't say they were truly praising the Lord. They'd show them. They'd show that they were. Did that mean they were? And all the flocks. And that word flocks is literally the word men. All the men of Kedar. And Kedar means darkness or black. He's a son of Ishmael. It speaks of darkness. So all the sons of darkness shall be gathered together to you. Huh? Well, here's what it says. That's again, symbolism. All the men of darkness, and not talking about their color, talking about the darkness up here between their ears. So all these people of lack of understanding and walking in ignorance shall be gathered together to who?
Me.
That's right. You should be reading that as me. See?
Is that they're only hearing the thunder?
No. They're being drawn to you because of the light you got now.
Okay.
See? They're not been awakened.
But they're starting to see something, see? They're seeing a light. even at a distance, it's a light. And the rams, or the strong men of, and said the word ram literally speaks of a strong man, not ram, of Nebaioth, whatever that is. It means the son, that's another son of Ishmael, He was another son of Ishmael.
Nebaioth
is another son of Ishmael, and it speaks of heights. It speaks of arrogance and pride. Okay? Anytime you're speaking of the heights. Shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance. Now, the word acceptance throws you in a wrong category. When you say they come up in acceptance, that sounds like they're coming to worship and God's accepting them. That's not what it means. No. It says they come up voluntarily. Now put the word voluntarily in there. Does that change it? It does, doesn't it? So it should be the word voluntarily. They come up voluntarily on my altar. And I will glorify my house. Now, when God says the house, he's not talking about a church building, is he? Know ye not that you're the tabernacle of the living God? See? He's going to glorify his house. And they're going to come to his house, not to a building to go in, but to men and women that he has set all over this world. Wherever he chooses to set them. It says, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Who are these? Well, I could say Passover and Pentecost, but that'll go with that. Surely the isles or the isolated ones shall wait for me. Remember what Isaiah 40:31 says? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Okay? So, when we talk about the isolated ones, we're not talking about people that shunned and put away, but these are God's people that have been isolated for his working on them. Okay? We've been isolated so God can work on us. So we're not affected by all the peer pressures of the world until he gets us ready. And when he equips us, guess what? There's nothing they can throw at you that you can't handle. Nothing. You've got it under control.
Which word is for isolated ones?
Isles.
Coastlands. Oh, okay. I see.
Okay. It says, surely the isles shall come. I don't know what your version says.
Mine is
coastlands. Same. That's the word right there. But they'll wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish. What does Tarshish mean? Precious stones. The ships from place of the precious stones. And who is of precious stones?
Me.
We are. We're lively stones built one upon another. We're the precious stones. To bring your sons from afar. They're silver. Excuse me.
First fruit.
Yep. It's first fruit. To bring your sons from afar. They're silver and their gold with them. Unto the or to the name or the nature of the Lord thy God. And that word Lord thy God is Yahweh Elohim. Lord God's what it should say. And to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified who?
You.
Okay. And when you're reading it, it should be me. You should read it as yourself. They're going to bring it. Now, they're not talking about bringing silver and true gold. You know that. That's redemption for silver and gold is his nature. They're going to bring it to you. You know why they're going to bring it to you? Because they're the touchstones that's working on you. Right?
Yeah.
They are. Come on. They're going to bring that nature to you by what they do to you. I mean, your testing and trial. You know, if there was no reason, if God gave us grace and mercy to give to someone else, if someone doesn't come along and kick you in the shins, then you got nobody to give it to, do you?
Well, if you're thinking about the coastlands, that's earth. That's
sure.
Earthly things. So
yeah.
They're bringing that earth around to try to aggravate you with.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Verse 10, and the sons of strangers or heathens shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you, because in my wrath I have smote you, but in my favor, and that's literally in my pleasure, have I had mercy or compassion upon you. He said, yeah, I struck you a few times.
I knew you were coming.
Yeah. But I had to do what I had to do to get you where you got to be.
And to get your attention.
He got my attention. That's what it's all about. See, so not being upset when God's working on me. I told somebody one time, they said, "My God, I'm just everything collapsed now." I said, "Well, good." They didn't like it and they end up leaving, but a lot of them have. Because I said, "Hey, look, you got to learn that God is going to shape you. And to get that old nasty stuff off of you, he's going to take some scrubbing. And he's going to get it off one way or another, isn't he?"
Of course.
Yep. So we had a lot of them come and go because they expected me to wave some magic wand. I don't have a magic wand. There isn't a magic wand. God didn't say to go around it. He said go over top of it, be an overcomer. He didn't give us that escape theory. We have to go through things. And when we go through, we're going to be stronger and more equipped to do whatever we got to do. So it'll be okay. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, your gates shall be open continually." That means I never shut down. I don't go out of business.
It'll also be your gate with your eyes and stuff.
Open to hear whatever he's got.
To be observant.
Does that say your line of communication
is always open?
Be observant and aware of your surroundings.
Yep. Like Lisa said there, you're always open to hear whatever he says. If it changes what I think, then so be it. That's the purpose of it. They shall not be shut day or night. You know,
24/7.
Many times I get things in the middle of the night and just get up. You know, if that's what happens, fine. If it don't, that's fine too. It's whatever he wants. That men, cross out that word may right there. Mm-hmm. That men bring to you the forces, and literally it's the strength or the resources of the Gentile or the masses. And that their kings, cross out that may, be led in procession. Now, you got to think about what went on in their time. When a king was overcome, they would humiliate them. You know, a lot of times they cut their big toes off and their thumbs off so they couldn't do anything. Couldn't run, couldn't have any strength. Took their main parts off. And they would put a rope around their neck and tie them back of a mule or a camel or something and lead them in a procession of all the captured people. And they'd lay them in front and humiliate them. And see, that's the way, and humiliation is the way we get to God anyway. We have to get out of our arrogance and pride. So if they don't listen, he said their kings, being a strong, powerful force, have to be broke down. It should say that last line, and that their kings be led in procession. Is that last word, instead of saying, like I said, and their kings may be brought, you know, be led in procession. They were humiliated. Everybody has to be brought through that humiliation stage to be humbled down to the Lord, don't they? They have to get rid of their self, their king eye.
Well, whenever they defeated an army, they took their king and they
put him right in the front and drug him in to show the humiliation.
They were defeated.
Verse 12, because the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted or utterly destroyed or desolate. Now, we're not talking about kingdoms and nations here. We're talking about what? The minds, that's right, thought process. So any thought process is not going to be broke down to serve the first fruit sons of God, the same as God himself, are going to be what? Wasted and destroyed. Well, you know what? Every natural mind's going to be wasted, aren't they? Every one of them.
Everything that exalts itself
shall be abased. In verse 13, it goes on and says, "The glory of Lebanon," and Lebanon means white mountain, is talking about righteousness, "shall come to you, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree," all together, it should say. Okay? What's that tell you? All three trees, speaking of all three that grow on the high mountain, you know, they're all coming to God. That's all the covenants, all three realms, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. And look what it says after the word together. To beautify the place of my sanctuary. That's what it said in Hebrews 11, where the last part of it says, they can't be made perfect without us. They're waiting on us. See? And he said right here, when they all come together, that's going to beautify my sanctuary. And the place the place of my feet glorious, or the place of my lifestyle, feet representing your lifestyle, the people that live his lifestyle. When you all come together, that's the greatest thing God can ever see is beauty, is see all of us getting along together. And I know that doesn't even sound possible or plausible today, but we got to start somewhere, don't we? Okay, verse 14. The sons of them that afflicted you shall come bending or what? Bowing. They're showing reverence to you. Revelation 3:9 says, I will make, there are some who say thereof the, I got to read it now. I can't quote the first part of it again. I get caught in it. Yeah. There's some who say there are something. Let me get it here. Just take a second. 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship at your feet and to know that I have loved you. To know that I love you, rather, should say. So, same thing he's saying right there. They're all going to come to worship at your feet. They're going to worship at the lifestyle that you live. Not you as an individual, but the lifestyle you're living, okay? Which is God's. And all they that despise you shall bow themselves down at the soles of your feet, and they shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Wow. What's it saying? God's going to honor you to a place that he reserved for himself and his sons, and everybody's not going to get there.
This is my beloved son.
In whom I'm well pleased. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Zion being the highest mountain in Jerusalem. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. In Isaiah 54, let me just back up a little bit and read you something. Isaiah 54, verse 6, that's where I'll start. Because the Lord has called you a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when you was refused, saith thy God. I called you when you was rejected. Okay? Well, you were rejected. No, you were coming out, but you were still rejected by everybody else. See? You didn't meet their standards. Well, God's standards is not the same as theirs. Thank God for that. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, saith the Lord your Redeemer. For this is the waters of Noah. I don't want to go on all that, but I'm just going to show you. He's talking about us again. Yeah. He said, I did forsake you for a little while, but it was for your benefit. And now I'm going to bring you out with the greatest mercies you could ever conceive. You'll forget about them old negative things that you went through. When the light comes on, that darkness is dispelled, right? He said, you shall suck the milk of the Gentiles, or the masses. That means they're going to give you what you need to eat. And you shall suck the breasts of kings. They're all going to provide for you. And you shall know, and you shall know, that I, the Lord, your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. He said, you'll know I am. I'm the one. I tell you this in advance, so when it comes to pass, you'll know who to thank. You'll be saying, well, gosh, who sent this stuff to me? Who took care of me?
It was written on your heart from the beginning.
Before the foundations or the conception of the world. Verse 17. This verse really gave me some issues trying to reason through it. But I think I've got something out of it, and that's the main thing, getting something out of it. He said, for brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver. For wood, brass, and for stones, iron. And I'll stop right there for a minute. Instead of brass, is what it should say. Instead of brass, brass speaks of fetters that they used. They were pretty malleable. They could shape them, make chains, clamp around your wrists and feet and your neck or whatever to lock you up in chains. Okay? So instead of fetters, I will bring gold. Gold is the nature of God. It's not restrictive, it's not binding, is it? God's nature is to free you, correct?
Right.
And for iron speaks of something really harsh and oppressive, unbending, like the mind of humanity. And I will bring, and for iron I will bring silver. What is silver?
Redemption.
Redemption. For wood, brass, and for stones, iron. All he's saying is, I'm replacing what the world has put on you. Okay?
I've taken your prison away.
I've taken all these restrictive, binding things that humanity has put on you, and I have set you free.
Yep.
Why do you think he went to the cross?
There you say, wow.
I'm telling you, it's wow, wow, wow through this whole thing. He said, he's trying to convey to you, I've already done the job. All you got to do is accept what I tell you and live it. See? All you got to do is live what I'm telling you. I've already done it.
So he's taking away your burden and giving you life.
He's giving you the freedom of life. He took away all those restrictive things that the world has put on us in our own thinking.
Believe it.
Huh?
As long as you believe it.
You got to know what he's saying to you is real. When you do that, you don't have to worry about anything else. You're free. He said, I also will make your officers. And that word officers there is a little different word. Oh, I see it now. Okay. I was wrong line. Okay. And your officers, it should be your overseers. Okay. Your overseers instead of officers. He said, I'm going to make your overseers. Who do you think our overseer is? The Holy Spirit. To Christ. See, the Holy Spirit is our overseer. And he is peace. He doesn't have peace. He is peace. And when he left, he said, Jesus left, he said, I'm leaving my peace with you. He left us the Holy Spirit. So he said, I'm going to make your overseer peace and your extractors righteousness. Okay? So we have peace and righteousness now overseeing what we do and think. That's the mind of Christ, isn't it? We don't have to worry about anything. Did you hear what he said? You ain't going to have no more unrighteous judgments, are you? You're going to listen to things that's being said righteously. You're not going to make unrighteous judgments or condemnation and blame on somebody. You're going to understand, I don't have to. I'm at peace now. I don't have to worry about what somebody else accuses me of. If they accuse me of it, let God take care of it. He's the one who takes care of me. My overseer takes care of me. I'm not taking care of my overseer. I obey him. Now, starting from verse 17 down, I want you to know that this is something really spiritual. This has nothing to do with natural at all. Of course, we should know by now most of this is not natural. But this is spiritual things.
I was saying, where it's saying land and borders, that's just your mind.
Where's that at?
In this verse, mine has like, will burn your land or destructions.
Yeah, okay.
That's your mind.
Yeah, in verse 18? Yeah. Violence shall no more be heard, and that's the Shammah, in your land, in your mind. You're absolutely right. In your mind. Wasting nor destruction within your borders. See, guess what your borders is? Still the same thing. God says things a lot of times, multiple different ways, saying the same thing. He's still talking about your mind. But you shall call your walls, that's your defenses, salvation. You know what? I'm not calling my defense salvation. I'm calling it deliverance, because that's what that word really should mean. Deliverance. Okay? My protection is my deliverance. You understand? My salvation was when Jesus died on the cross. My deliverance is when he changed my mind. There is my freedom right there. You understand? My protection is the fact that I understand and know some things now that I don't have to worry about somebody taking care of me, right? God's taking care of us. And your gates shall be praised. Now, when we talk about gates being praised, what did you say gates was a while ago? Right here. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth. It's not just what goes out, but it's what you see and hear. It's everything. All the entrances into you are for praise. The sun shall no more be your light. Now, he's talking about a natural sun here. The natural sun will no longer be your light in the daytime. God will be your light. Neither for brightness shall the moon give you light. In day or night, I don't need the natural light because I'm illuminated by the Christ within me.
You're not going to depend on the external things to keep you.
Absolutely. It's not external. It's all internal. But that light is there. And he said, he's already telling you, I want to go back and read that first verse again.
Yeah.
Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So this is not something that's going to happen. What is it? It's something right now. Right? He's told you from the beginning, it's already here, and now I'm going to explain it to you. And that's what we're doing. We're explaining what he said in that first verse. But the Lord, that's Yahweh, Father, shall be to you an everlasting light, and your God, the word your God there, your Elohim, will be your glory. The many-membered body of Christ will be your glory, as we're all together.
That's why when we come face to face with someone that's been illuminated, that's why we rejoice, because like, you got it.
You got it. You can see it. It's there. Why would they use the name Lord and your God, two different words, Yahweh and Elohim? See, because they mean something. Most people don't know that they have a different meaning. Yahweh is the Father. Elohim is the plurality of God. So it's a many-membered body, see? So when we all come together, that's the glory of God coming together. That's still first fruit we're talking about right there. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall your moon withdraw itself. So our sources in daytime and nighttime, he's saying the same thing he said in the verses before, in verse 19, he's saying it again in 20, will no more withdraw themselves. So you'll have no more light being one day I'm dark and one day I'm light. Isn't that a little inconsistent?
Yeah.
Don't be no more days like that. You're light. Light don't go away. It's forever. God's never taken his light away from you. His gifts and calling are irrevocable without repentance, aren't they? They're unchangeable. When you get the light's gone. It's there. I mean, it's going on from now on. The source has no limited power. Because the Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be what is it?
Mine says ended.
Yeah, mine says ended, but that's not correct. You want to know what it really says? It's a good one. there's some good ones in this chapter. It said, the days of your mourning shall become a covenant of peace. Your days of mourning shall become a covenant of peace. You know what? You won't be anxious for anything anymore.
It'll be a cutting away.
All the negative's gone. All you got's light. All you got's illumination. That's good stuff. No more mourning. No more. I've now become a covenant of peace. Verse 21 says, your people also shall be righteous. The King James says, thy people also shall be all righteous. But it should say, your people shall all be righteous. All. How many? They're all righteous because of him. They shall inherit the land. Now, inherit. Now I think we're not talking about first fruit here in this verse. I think we're talking some right here, right now, about everybody else. Because see, we worked and did things. You know, I think it might. I'm wrestling with this one right here a little bit. There's a little bit of confusion in my mind about it, about inheriting. See, inheriting, you don't do anything for it, and I guess that's us too. That's still got to be first fruit. I'm sorry about that.
Possessed.
Huh?
I'm so possessed.
Well. But inherit is a proper word too. I mean, both words are in that word. But we're supposed to inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting. See, we inherit Christ. The branch is Christ, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He is the branch of my planting. Okay. And my planting here, it should say the branch of my garden. So what garden are we talking about? The mind of Christ, the Garden of Eden, which is the mind of Christ. The work of my hands, and the last part of that verse says, that I may be glorified. Cross out the word may. That I be glorified. So let me back up and make a statement there when I said it. That is about still about first fruit. That's still not about everybody. That's still that verse 21. The inheritance, I had something kick in my mind right there, and it made me stutter a little bit, and it was confusing me. I think my old something in there was trying to rear its head there. But this is about the same people. In verse 22, a little one shall become a thousand. Now, we're not talking about A little tiny person.
Oh.
We're talking about someone who seems to be insignificant.
He shall become greater.
There you go. An insignificant one shall become a thousand, or great as a thousand people.
The least shall be great.
The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Okay? And a small one, or the least one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. Whatever time God has set up for you, He'll bring you up. It's not about you earning your way, or crying, or begging your way. It's about what He's going to do for you.
Each man in his own order.
Every man, as Paul said, in his own order in 1 Corinthians 15. It all goes together when we sit down and we don't wrestle it. We just absorb what God has given us. He's the one feeding us, isn't He?
That's the same thing. The first shall be last, the last shall be first.
Yep, just said that. Yep. Yep. That's all right. That's all right.
You was in another thought process.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's a good chapter. I really liked it. I saw all kinds of good things in there. It just witnesses over and over and over and over, but yeah. I like it.